An infinite supply. "As my stance?" asked Flick, peering over his shoulder at his back foot.
"We'll get to your stance," said Clover.
"In about a year at this rate,"
muttered Downside, holding the edge of his axe up to the sunlight, then polishing away at it again.
"If you last a year..."
Scholler frowned as she tried to cut the finest slice of cheese imaginable with that long, thin knife of hers.
"Don't listen to this sorry pair," said Clover. "We'll get to your stance. But always bear in mind, if your sword's drawn, you've already made at least one mistake."
"Aye,"
said Flick, squinting at Clover over the wobbling point of his blade.
"Unless you're cleaning it, or sharpening it, or maybe selling it."
"What if you're in a battle?"
"Then you've made at least two mistakes, possibly a lot more. A battle's no place for a self-respecting warrior. But if you must attend one, at least have the good taste to be where the fighting isn't."
"What if some bastard tries to kill you?"
"Ideally, you'd have worked that out a while back and done 'em first, preferably while they're asleep. That's what knives are for."
"That and slicing cheese," said Scholler, lifting her knife towards her mouth with furious concentration,
a cheese shaving so fine it was almost see-through, clinging to the flat. A spring gust came through the courtyard just as it was getting to her lips and blew it away like thistledown, left her clutching helpless at the air.
"That's the thing about knives," said Clover. "Cheap to get and with endless applications. Swords are dear as all hell, and they've got just the one, and it's one every man should avoid."
Flick crunched up his face.
"You're sort of talking yourself out of a job here, far as the teaching of sword work goes."
"Aye, but life being what it is, mistakes happen. That's when an understanding of sword work might save your worthless hide from an unsightly hole or two, as it saved mine on a couple of regrettable occasions. So, to the stance."
"Clover!"
Greenway came strutting across the yard like he was the one that built it and was highly delighted with the achievement, thumbs in his belt and his elbows pointing out, as if you could tell a man's quality by the amount of space he took up.
"I fucking hate this prick,"
murmured Scholler as she tried to shave an even thinner slice from the edge of the cheese block, then clicked her tongue in disgust as it crumbled.
"You're a fine judge of character,"
said Clover, giving Greenway a cheery wave hello as he approached, sneering at Flick. Since Magwyr's untimely demise, he'd taken on the role of Stour's chief sneerer.
"Who's this?"
he sneered.
"This is Flick. I'm teaching him how to use the blade, or how not to."
"He looks a bloody idiot,"
said Greenway.
"Aye, well, there's a short supply of men clever as you. Have to make do with what we're given. Stour ready for me?"
"The king, you mean?"
Clover stared back blankly.
"I, the king, I do mean. Stour is the king, and the king is Stour. We were both there when he hung the chain round his neck, weren't we?"
They'd both been there, and they'd both been bloody. Greenway shifted his thumbs in his sword belt.
"One of these days, you'll say too much, Clover."
"Well, the mod's waiting for us all. Worse ways to get there than excessive conversation. Now, shall we take the news to the great wolf?"
He nodded at the sack, which had drawn the attention of at least half of Carleon's flies.
"Bring that along, eh, Flick?"
The lad wrinkled his nose.
"You sure? It's got quite the odour."
"That's the way of things, lad. We all end up stinking. And yes, I'm sure. It's not for my benefit, I can tell you that."
"Stay out of trouble, eh, chief?"
grunted Scholler, eyes fixed on her knife and her cheese. "Believe it or not, I've spent 15 years trying."
"What the bloody hell are you about, anyway?"
Downside was asking as Clover went to answer the king's call.
"If you get it right," murmured Scholler, "it just melts on your tongue."
Flick looked like he was about to swing the sack over his shoulder, saw the stains, and decided against. He wasn't strong enough to hold it at arm's length, though, so it ended up knocking against one knee as he walked, with a wet clumping.
never met a king, he said.
No, said Clover. I'd have thought you'd be in daily contact with royalty.
Aye?
Just keep your mouth shut and smile. Flick made a gurning rictus of the lower half of his face. Smile, I said. You're not trying to sell him your teeth.
There was a lot that hadn't changed in Scarling's Hall since Scarling's time. The big creaking doors with their great iron hinges, the high rafters, the tall windows, the bright cold sun beyond, and the sound of rushing water far below. Scarling's chair was the same one Bethod and Black Dow and Scale Ironhand had sat in, hard and simple, paint worn off the time-polished arms and flaking from the back. The man sitting in it was new, though. Stour Nightfall, who men called the Great Wolf, with his left leg hooked over one of the arms and the bare foot gently swinging, a very fine wolfskin cloak about his shoulders, and grinning like a wolf indeed. Why wouldn't he smile? Got everything he wanted, hadn't he? No longer king in waiting, but king all the way, and all he'd had to do was stab his uncle in the throat. Everything boiled over with menace in there. The faces of the young warriors, unsmiling, like life was a contest at having the least fun. The flames in the great fireplace stabbed angrily. Even the cups on the table seemed to be nursing a slight. There was this horrible quiet, everyone holding their breath, expecting violence to strike like lightning any moment.
You should be kneeling,
growled Greenway, as they stopped in the midst of that wide stone floor in front of Stour. Clover raised his brows.
Thought I'd at least walk in first. Guess I could shuffle in on my knees, but that'd wear quite considerably on my trousers and everyone's patience.
He twirled his finger around, turning back towards the door.
But I'll happily head back out and start again if there's a better way to go about it.
You don't need to kneel, Clover, said Stour,
waving him closer.
Old friend like you. That'd be a cunt, Greenway.
Greenway gave an epic sneer, which made him, in Clover's opinion, look more of a cunt than ever. Some men just can't help themselves. All the ones in this room, certainly. It was then he noticed there was a new cage in the corner, hanging from one of the high rafters, gently turning. Didn't seem a good sign. There was someone in it, too, naked and beaten bloody, but with eyes still open. That seemed an even worse sign.
"Unless I'm mistook," said Clover, "you've got Gregan Hollowhead in a cage."
Stour narrowed his eyes.
"I've a room full of bastards to tell me what I know already."
"I could have sworn he was on our side."
"I had my doubts," said Stour, curling his lip at the cage. "When I raised his taxes, he didn't want to pay. Felt quite angry about it. Made other folk angry."
"How's he feeling now, do you reckon?"
asked Greenway. Clover scratched gently at his scar.
"Bit sore, by the look of things."
"My father was always for buying him off," said Stour. "Him and men like him.
Black Calder's a great one for compromise."
"I'm not."
"No," said Clover, "I see that."
"Men are greedy, aren't they? No gratitude. They don't think about what they've already got from you, only about what they can get next."
"There's a lot of arseholes about, all right," said Clover, letting his eyes sweep across Stour's closest.
"And Hollowhead and his sons and all those shits from the West Valleys, they're closer to Ulfrith than Carlion. Don't trust them."
"Do you trust them more now?"
"At least we all know where we stand."
"The Nails, one of his sons, no? Dangerous man, that."
The warriors ranged about the walls, competed to look more dangerous themselves.
"You scared?" asked Greenway.
"Constantly," said Clover. "But that's probably just my age. What you going to do with Hollowhead?"
Stour glowered at the cage and gave a great sniff.
"Still thinking. Let him go so he can pay the taxes, or cut the bloody cross in him as an example."
"He'll have taught folk a good lesson, whichever you choose,"
said Greenway. Clover had his doubts as he watched that cage gently turn. Hollowhead was a popular man. Lot of friends and family all over those valleys on the border with Ulfrith. Lot of hard fighters who'd be less than happy about that man being in a cage. Black Calder had spent years stitching the ripped-up north together with threats and whispers and debts and favours. Can't do it just with fear alone. But it was hardly Clover's job to say so. He looked away from Hollowhead and smiled.
Well, I wish you joy of the outcome, whatever you decide.
Huh. Stour's wet, sly eyes slid back to Clover.
And how about you? Get some joy out of the shanker?
Joy is not the word I'd pick, my king, but when your chief gives you a task, as old Three Trees used to say, you get on with it. So we bowed to the inevitable. You know me, I don't mind bowing, especially not to the inevitable.
Got no pride, eh, Clover?
Used to have, my king. Used to have a fucking surfeit, like a field in spring can draw too many bees. But I found when you're struggling, there's not a lot you can buy with the stuff. Pride, that is, not bees. So I shed mine. Don't miss it in the least.
Stour narrowed his eyes at Flick.
How's this?
This is Flick.
And Clover clapped a hand down on the lad's scrawny shoulder. He's my best man.
He looks a good one,
said Stour, and his arseholes laughed. More arseholes than there used to be. The North had an infinite supply.
Man should have friends, I reckon, said Clover. Definitely. Need someone to stab, don't you?
More laughter. Took an effort for Clover to smile, but he managed it. He jerked his head sideways at Flick.
Need me to stab him, my king?
Nah, you already proved what you are, Clover. I'd hate to take your best man away. What's he got there?
Little present for you.
Clover took the bag from Flick and upended it, and the shanker heads bounced and rolled out across the floor. He wished those had been the first scattered across Scarling's Hall, but he'd a sorry sense severed heads had been quite a frequent decoration down the years. Greenway took a step back with his arm across his face.
They fucking stink!
Don't be a cunt, Greenway.
Stour sprang eagerly from his chair and trotted over to look down at him, still a trace of a limp when he moved from the young lion's sword cut.
So you taught the shanker a lesson, eh?
Not sure flatheads really learn lessons, said Clover.
Not these ones, anyway.
Stour nudged the half-rotten heads around with one bare foot so he could see their leering faces.
Ugly bastards, eh?
I find myself on shaky ground when it comes to criticising others' looks, said Clover.
And we none of us look our best dead, added Flick,
then cleared his throat and looked down at the ground.
My king?
Oh, I don't know, said Stour, giving him that wet-eyed stare. I can think of quite a few folk I'd prefer as corpses.
I'm heading down to Ulfrith, Clover. Lucky to come along.
To fight?
No.
Which was something of a relief, as Clover couldn't say he'd much enjoyed their last war with the Union.
Gave my word in the circle, didn't I? Swore a solemn oath to the young lion. Think I'd break my word?
Honestly, my king, I haven't a fucking clue what you'll do one moment to the next.
Stour grinned.
Well, wouldn't life be dull if you could see everything coming? You know a fella called Oxel? One of the Dogman's war chiefs. Wouldn't trust him to hold the bucket while I pissed. Sometimes a shifty bastard's what you need, though, eh? Dogman's on the way out. Old and sick, I hear. When he's gone, Ulfrith needs to go to someone. Oxel wants it to be me.
And what about that solemn oath in the circle?
Stour shrugged.
Swore not to take it. Didn't say a thing about it dropping in my lap. Ulfrith wants to be part of the North. Who am I to argue?
And if there's some don't want to join? Asked Clover.
Stour nodded towards the cage.
I can get more of those. Off you go now.
And take your stinking heads with you, hissed Greenway.
Don't be a cunt, roared Stour,
spraying spit, and all around the hall men jerked up, stepped forward, put hands to their weapons, like dogs might bear teeth at their master's anger. Greenway backed off, white and trembling, no doubt thinking the great leveller had a hand on his shoulder. Then Stour grinned bigger than ever, and he squatted down on his haunches, that beautiful wolfskin cloak dragging in the mess the heads had left. He took the biggest one in his hands and set it right side up, its great spiked helmet still on, and its great long bloated tongue hanging from its oversized jaws.
"I want to look at 'em,"